division affiliation has been disavowed. You are now marked as rogue.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Rogue Agents Podcast, brought to you by the Media Junkie. If this is your first time listening to the Rogue Agents Podcast, this is a show where we get together to discuss the state of the game and share our thoughts on Division 2. Each and every Monday, you can find us on your podcast platform of choice. Please, while you're there, subscribe so you can get notifications for new episodes and also share us. It helps us out a ton. As always, and every week, I'm your host, Jamar. And you can find me at Thundercats06 on PlayStation Network. That's Thundercats06 on the PlayStation Network. And as always, I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Wes. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Happy Father's Day to all the guys out there that play Division 2.
Yeah, and to the fathers who don't. All right. Also, if you want to find Wes on the PlayStation Network, you can find him at Demented Wes on the PlayStation Network, and we have a repeated guest. This is our second time we have him on the show because he gives us such great insight on the PTS. We got Phoenix Gaming. We have Mason. What's up, man?
What is going on, guys? How you guys doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Well, let's just get right to it. We'll start with the hype check because we have a little thing called the Title Update 4 coming, and it's been in PTS now, what, 2 weeks?
Am I right? Yeah, it finished, closed on Friday.
Ah, so it is coming close. I know we had a little conversation and on Twitter about, like, the release date. I was, like, pretty certain I was ready and hyping myself up for Tuesday. But we don't have an official date, so now I'm kind of, like, a little nervous.
Nothing too official. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it'll come out on Tuesday because Title Update 3 came out on Tuesday. And that was a kind of a surprise for everyone because usually maintenance is, you know, Thursdays like always. But from my personal standpoint and my perspective, it seems like it would come out on a Tuesday. That way they can fix anything during the regular maintenance on Thursday. But I don't know. I just need to wait and see.
Well, I really hope it's Tuesday because to me, that's what my hype check is all about, is Title Update 4 and all the changes that are coming with it. It kind of has put me, I would say, if, of course, I give a number because we do it every week. I would say I'm probably about an 8 because I'm really excited for the new content. It's not going to be new missions, but there is some new research quests, and I'm excited for the Gunner. I want to try that out. So I'm overall really excited. How about you, Wes? Are you getting pumped up for update 4?
I'm pumped up for update 4. I'm excited for the Gunner because I do need a new specialization now that we have the Nemesis. I feel like my specialization sniper is just not cutting it anymore. So I'm excited for title update 4, totally. And that, I'm excited for the new additions for us to play too. And I'm excited to hear what Mason has experienced so far, kind of playing with the PTS.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. I want to make sure. I hope you have all good things, no bad things, right?
I mean, you want me to get right into it? You want me to get my opinion about it? Because can definitely start.
let's make the people wait a little bit longer. We did our hype check. Let's just check in like Agent Clock. This really, since the last time you've been on the show, Mason, we kind of grown this into not necessarily just like how many hours you've put into the game. And of course, like Dark Zone level, all that stuff. But it's kind of more so like, what have you been up to? Like, what have you been doing recently? I know for you, it's probably PTS. But we also like to use the time to talk about like things that we just kind of been doing over the past week. And I know me, Wes, and the other agent that people should be familiar with, Jason, had some fun in the Dark Zone, if you can call it that. All right.
Yeah.
But we spent some time in there. I thought that was pretty cool. I've just been doing the same thing, logging in, getting my projects. Of course, the ones for material are just like the easiest projects to get, trying to get all those blueprints and searching for those ace cards or trying to get my deck full still. What about you guys?
Good.
Mason?
Okay. Like you stated, you know, been doing a little bit of the PTS, just kind of getting a feel for it. And so I did some of that for the last, you know, couple of weeks while I was up. But at the same time, doing the same thing pretty much you've been doing, getting in, doing the projects, doing the missions. But recently, I just started doing solo heroics just to kind of get a feel of where my build is at now. Plus also doing the raid with a very good group. And getting a feel for that and just kind of go through the motions of it because it's such downtime right now. I mean, there's still a lot of room for improvements with builds and weapons and everything like that. Just kind of, you know, taking it, you know, day by day, just waiting for the new update. And yeah, so just been really low, like low key.
I actually saw on Twitter, you've been tweeting out, you've been completing those missions on heroic solo, and I saw they actually tweeted back at you, the actual Division account.
Yeah, that was pretty funny when they did that. So I wasn't even expecting that either, because you know I hardly get any responses to the tweets. But I've been tagging the actual Division account. I've been tagging the creative directors, because they made such when the Division 2 came out and they gave like the difficulty and the scaling levels. They made such a big deal about it, about how it was going to be challenging, how it was going to be very much for like bragging rights. But at the same time, I mean, we have limited content right now, and you know, I'm very excited for episode 1 to come out next July, and I'm, you know, we'll get into that in a little bit. But so I was just like, you know what, I'm going to try focus on this, see what I can do, see what I can get away with. And yeah, it's been a hell of a time.
You gonna attempt the raid by yourself?
Yeah, that's a good one. I would if it wasn't really like focused on group activity. You'd probably get past like the very first part, but other than that, I don't think so.
If you do, definitely put a video up. I'm sure that would be quite impressive.
Yeah, if you solo the first part, yeah, you'll definitely get your own plaque somewhere.
Anything's possible, right?
You got it. Well, we can move right along into the main mission. We've kind of been hinting towards a couple of things, and you just actually mentioned one of it. We had a pretty small event happen out west at E3. I don't know if you guys heard of it or anything like that. It's kind of low key, but
you are right. It was actually small this year, so you're not wrong.
That's true. This joke actually won't land because of that. But nonetheless, we still got Ubisoft. They went up on the stage, and we got a nice little segment for the Division. And overall, it was exciting. It was stuff that we still kind of knew, but it was also a little bit more detail into it. And that's kind of what I just wanted to discuss real quick before we get into title update 4. We have the episode 1 coming in July. They didn't actually give a specific day in July, just July, right? I didn't miss that.
Yeah, I mean, Terry Spire said it was like in the beginning of July. So I if Title Update 4 comes out this week, you could probably expect episode 1 to come out maybe the second week of July. But remember how what they did when the raid was supposed to come out and they like pushed it back a full month? I mean, yeah. I'd be weary of it, you know. Don't get the hopes up, but you know, expect the worst.
That's well, true.
I said first week of July. Is that what I said like two podcasts ago?
Yeah, that's what we were kind of like thinking. And we kind of thought the raid was going to be a little bit longer after like 3.1 or 3.0 update, but it came out like much, much sooner than we thought. So July would be awesome. But we're getting the expeditions. And it, to me, from what I've gathered from the expeditions, and we can kind of like, this is obviously open for discussion, but it seems like the expeditions will be like a larger classified mission. So it mentions like discovery and finding items and things like that. Is that kind of the same read you guys are getting?
That's what I'm feeling. Okay. I'm feeling that the expeditions are... I think they're going to have a really good backstory to them. You know, just kind of give the feel for the Division lore of what happened during the time frame rather than what's really going on now. Because, you know, we already know that DC is being taken over by Black Tusk. We already know that what they're trying to do and what the whole, like, the center focus is. But I think what we can expect from the actual expeditions is, you know, what happened with... the university, what happened with the National Zoo, what happened with all those specific areas that's different than what happened in the actual DC metropolitan area.
Oh, okay, I got you. So it's like, this wouldn't be just basically the run-of-the-mill like story, like, hey, this area, or was it, it's Black Tusk, so hey, this, they're attacking because they're just attacking, but there's like specific reasonings for like each area. Like the University and National Zoo?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's the way I get a feel for it.
That would be cool. I'm just excited to see them actually taking on, like, more areas that actually exist. Like, with the National Zoo, like, I'd imagine they do a great job with sound design and stuff. So, like, are there animals still there? Like, what kind of, like, I'm really excited to see what happens in the zoo.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I'm like definitely overly excited to go to the zoo. It's just going to be different change of scenery. And I definitely need that in this game.
Yeah. I mean, remember playing like the Aerospace Museum like for the first time and just like how amazing everything was because of like how like precise they were with like sound and just like everything. It was so spot on. I want to see them do that with more areas. So that's exciting. Plus, we've done all these other areas like at least 30, 40 times. So that'd be cool.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got fall for episode 2. I believe that was it. I probably should have just did more research, but I just kept it in there anyways. So we got fall, and then we're going to the Pentagon, which I seem pretty excited about that. That actually will be pretty cool because it's a pretty giant building. So I imagine they could do quite a bit in there. And then with that coming, we'd also have the second raid. And I literally laughed out loud. I was watching the press conference and my wife was just doing stuff around the house, and I just bust out laughing when he was so excited about saying the second raid. And she just looked at me like, what are you laughing about? And I was like, I can't explain it. It's too much pain behind this laughter. But hopefully we can finish like the first raid when the second one comes, before the second one comes out. That'll be pretty neat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think the raid's going to be like in the Pentagon? Is that like the way they're setting that up, or
no? I think that's where a lot of misconception is, and I think there's a lot of misconception between episode 2 and 3, and we'll get right into that in like in a little bit. But with episode 2, I think the misconception is for everyone, and they weren't really clear at E3 as well. But I think the Pentagon is its own separate side mission. It's its own entity. The Black Tusk are in there. I mean, if you think about it, the Pentagon is literally where all the secrets are kept of the Department of Defense. It's the secrets of the nation. You don't know what's inside of it, but in this scenario, the Black Tusk do. The Black Tusk want this information. I mean, for all we know, we could think that the green poison wasn't an accident and that it was totally intentional, and maybe not by the person who designed it, but maybe by a greater government or maybe there's another virus out there, or maybe the virus is multiplying. I mean, there's so many scenarios for it. But I think the Pentagon and the raid are two separate ones. And the reason why I say this is because with the image that they showed at E3, the raid, that image was of the True Sons logo. So if they're going to keep in line with how a raid or how raids are supposed to be, it's going to be a different faction each time. So in my perspective from this is that this time the raid is going to be the True Sons.
Yeah, I think like when maybe I saw that on Reddit, but it was like some screenshots of that and it was definitely True Sons. So I guess now that you say that it points that out, it does make sense that that would be like we get something separate in the Pentagon and then the raid would be its own thing. Or, huh. Yeah, that kind of made me think. I just had this vision in my mind of like the raid happening and you're just going to one point on each side of the Pentagon. But yeah, that makes sense. Makes me think. Well, that's exciting, but again, I need to beat the first raid first before I can get super excited. Which I never asked. Did you end up beating it at all, Mason? You said you guys were going through it on it with a pretty good group.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, I've beaten the raids several times, but at first, looking for a group and getting together with people that really didn't know the mechanics and didn't really have the good communication about it, it was difficult. It was hard. It was challenging. But then I found a group on PC. And the group is called Escape Plans, and the communication was there, the mechanics were there. I mean, we get the raid down probably to 45 minutes on a good night, and it's fun. I mean, once you get to know what to do and how to get past each boss, it becomes easier and easier. You know, it's just practice.
Yeah, I think that's like our biggest thing is repetition. We have like a pretty good like active group when doing raids. It's just that they do it at like a little bit different time zones and we're normally getting on later and they're kind of like already running like an hour or so ahead, but
yeah,
eventually we'll get there, right?
I mean, I would love to try it again since I took my, you know, damage to elites from 40% up to 100% and we haven't had an opportunity to try it again. So I'm almost like, maybe we should find a new group.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like try and find someone that would be in our same time zone. Because I'd like to be able to run that, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they gave us July, then they gave us fall, and then they gave us 2020. So early 2020, we have something pretty exciting. We have Manhunt. We're going back to New York City. There was like a nice little pan. It was cool, actually, video to set everything up. And then it just the camera spins around, and then you see like Coney Island. I'm like, ah, this is cool. So we're going back to New York, tying in Division 1 to Division 2, and I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited. It's cool, the lore behind it. Like, I feel like I had a little bit more attachment with the lore in the first one. I don't know if it's just because of cutscenes or whatnot, but and this game, I feel like we know, I kind of know what's going on, but I kind of don't, but I'm really excited to go back to something that's familiar, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I don't think anything's going to beat the story of Division 1, honestly, just because the way it was set up, the way it was brought to the attention, and because Aaron Keener is literally like your antagonist for these last two games, and he's so questionable, he's so mysterious, but that's what makes him a good antagonist, because you don't know what he's planning. And I don't know, and this is from my own, this is my personal standpoint, my personal opinion, I don't know if we're going to go back to the actual Manhattan Island. We might just be going to Coney Island. But if they actually do bring back Manhattan Island as a whole, I mean, that is going to be that's going to be some serious, serious content right there. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was kind of agreeing with you. That would be pretty ridiculous. I would expect like at least like Coney Island and maybe some a little bit surrounding it. But that would be insane, because think about like you go back with your current character back to like Manhattan. That would be ridiculous. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone would enjoy that. And like, you know, maybe like all the new agents coming in, you know, after the free weekend that just happened, they'll be like, oh, why are we going back to New York? Why is New York such a big deal? But I mean, if they were kind of tie in maybe like side missions, just to kind of give a brief synopsis of what happened. I mean, I think that'd be awesome. But I mean, again, I'm expecting just like a little snippet of New York, not actual New York City, but like something like Coney Island, something like the Statue of Liberty Island, you know, other types of monumental areas there. But again, if they actually bring back the whole NYC area, that's going to be something.
Either way, I'm like pretty excited for what they bring. Like it's just cool to have like more. And I didn't expect this at all. Like, to me, this is like a complete surprise. I really didn't expect us to do anything other than just like, hey, New York, yeah, that all exists, that happened. But I thought it was going to be primarily just all about DC. So to know that we could possibly get a new area, which would be cool. And then just thinking beyond that, like, we won't necessarily need a Division 3 like anytime soon if we continue to work on that and maybe give us more surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I see it like that as well. Like, if they're doing this now, I don't see them making a third sequel. I just see them expanding on what they have. Kind of like how Destiny right now, and I know, you know, Division podcast and Destiny or whatever, but you see how Destiny 2 is kind of incorporating everything from the first one. I think, and again, personal perspective, I think this is kind of where Division is going to, like, they're slowly going to phase in everything else from the first one and then just build on top of it, because people would rather have that and pay DLC content or season passes rather than having to get a whole new sequel and have everything change while just keeping everything the way it is now and just building on top of it and making it better.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, we already paid for like the year one content. We're just going to pay again for year two. Like, we'll give them another $40 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just kind of start all over again. Like, I'm cool with that. We got to fund that Division movie somehow, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, we got Jake Gyllenhaal. And I guess we kind of knew the movie was coming, right? Because they were like talking before, like, yeah, it's a Division movie, just like how Uncharted movie has been announced forever. I just always thought, yeah, whatever, it might happen, it may never happen. But at E3, they announced that it was going to be a partnership with Netflix, which made me think, oh, yeah, this is happening 100% positively now. Like, there's no guessing it.
Like, and they're going to dump a lot of Netflix. Money into it, because Netflix, they don't care.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, Netflix is all about like getting some original content on there. So they're throwing the money in there. I'm pumped. That means this is actually happening.
What was it? The first Division came out 2015? Is that right?
Yeah, you're right, 15.
So what, 4 years ago? I remember scrolling through my Google News feed, and like, it was a week after the first Division came out that they announced that this movie was going to be made, and that they cast Jake Gyllenhaal as, you know, the primary lead. And then after all that, it was like dead silent. And you didn't hear anything about it at all. And for it to come back, and especially being on Netflix, like, I really hope they don't just like make a movie of it. I really hope it's like maybe a big movie at first, but then broken down into like episodes or just expanding on it, because they could do so much with this storyline.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to unite. That's the main thing. Like, once this movie comes out, like, just watch it as many times as you can. Just let them know that we want more content. Of course, if it sucks, I mean, it sucks, but we'll see. But I mean, Netflix has always been, I mean, we just got another Adam Sandler movie. And hey, why not a Division movie, you know?
Yeah.
Netflix, do some turtle movies, please.
They are, but not the one you're gonna wanna see.
Right. That is true.
They're making a Rise movie.
Well, on to some more or some not as depressing news as we got from there. E3 kind of ended, and then that was some excitement. But I was wondering, where is all the news about Title Update 4? Like, when are we getting it? And then we got to State of Game, and that's where we figured out when it's coming-ish. So, like you said earlier, the PTS ended Friday, and this week, maybe beginning, maybe end. We're getting title update 4. So we're finally getting the game for me and Wes because we're on console, so we don't get to test it out. But that's why I had you here, Mason, because you at the PTS, you got a chance to mess around with the new specialization. We have the gunner specialization, which that's like kind of the main thing. I just broke it up into three ways. I want to talk about the specialization, some skill trees, and then some cool stuff that I've seen with the exotic gear and also the changes they're making with named weapons. So without further ado, the gunner specialization, I just want to know, how awesome is it to use the minigun?
It is a lot of fun. It is so much fun. I mean, just being able to have that collapsible minigun, because it does collapse, like you take it, you unequip it from, you know, your stash or whatever, or you equip it in your hands, and it's just like the whole barrel just pops out and you're ready to go to town. And the speed, like the reload speed on it, is literally not there. It's like as soon as you run out of your rounds, it comes back again. It's literally not there. So that's a plus, especially with this. And the skill tree for it is just, it's definitely a tank skill tree. So if you have good armor stats, like good armor rolls now and health rolls and anything that can be geared towards being tanky, I would suggest that you wait until the gunner spec comes out, because what you have now added on top of all the bonuses of armor and health with that skill tree is just literally going to make you unstoppable. Now, there are some downsides to this, to the actual gunner specialization, being that, you know, you have to stay out of cover. You cannot go into cover, because then your minigun will unequip and you'll go back to using your regular weapons. You will be the focus of attention for all the NPCs. It was hard trying to actually spec out the actual skill tree, because there just wasn't enough points, especially getting as many as you possibly could, and with the limited amount of time that there was for it. There is definitely like so much room and growth for that skill tree. It's fun. It's so much fun to use.
I'm excited about that. The one thing that concerned me is like you mentioned, is getting into cover. So when you're like, you know, shooting and you do go to get in cover, you don't have to unequip it. You say they automatically unequips the gun and you go straight to cover. So there's no like delay or anything, right?
No delay that what I saw, but that doesn't mean that it won't change. That doesn't mean that they won't, you know, force you to switch to a weapon and then get into cover. But honestly, that wouldn't make sense. It's more of like, you know, you get into cover, now you don't have your specialization equipped and you can't provide that cover fire for your team.
Okay, that's cool. I like the idea of a tank coming back here, because I know, Wes, you were basically running a tank build for a while until we started focusing on like damage to elites. Does that do anything for you? Make you want to switch back? Or
oh, you guys didn't hear the table when? No, I'm kidding. it kind of makes me want to switch back for sure. I still have a loadout for, you know, the tank aspect, which doesn't affect the damage I do with my rifle or anything like that. So when that launches, I'm definitely going to be checking that out, because I do need something different. Because like I said, it makes no sense carrying the Nemesis and the Sharpshooter.
Right.
That Tech 50.
Well, obviously the gun uses like the signature ammo. So I know there was some changes and stuff. We kind of slightly, you know, discussed that on the previous episode. But what I'm really concerned on is, like, one, I guess I want to know, how large is the, like, the clip? Like, how long do you get to shoot? Like,
150 rounds, I believe, okay, is what it was, if I remember correctly. You have such a large magazine size, and you have a very large, you have the large pouch associated with that gunner specialization, which is good for the LMG aspect of things, because with the gunner specialization, you unlock this large pouch specifically for your LMGs to constantly provide cover fire when you are in cover. So there's a trade-off. So even though like you can't use your specialization while in cover, your LMG will be like the primary focus to still provide cover fire for your group, if that makes sense.
I gotcha. I gotcha. If Jason's listening, this is probably where he flips the table, because that's his. He loves the LMG. So like, did you ever see like any issue with like scarcity with the signature ammo trying to use this weapon specifically?
No, and that was so the new mechanic that they added was, and you'll see it when the update drops, or if you have seen it already, but on where your heads up display is, you'll notice that you'll have these little tick marks and they're orange. And every time you do something with that specialization, whether you're running like sharpshooter, survivalist, demolitionist, or gunner, and you're doing something with that specialization, that's meaning not actually using the weapon equipped, but just using your own weapons, you're going to see that meter start to build. And then the last round that you use to hit an NPC and kill that NPC is when you're going to get your specialization ammo. And it's very quick. It's not something that takes like half a mission and you only get maybe two rounds for whatever you're running. No, it's actually very quick. Probably, I want to say maybe every sixth NPC, maybe even less than that, depending like if you're doing headshots, depending if you're using your grenades or something. Because if you're like using the grenade for survivalists, if you're using the fire grenade, that's going to increase the tick marks by a certain amount. Whereas if you're doing like headshots with the sharpshooter, that's going to increase your tick marks. So having that mechanic and seeing when your next specialization drop is going to come is very helpful, and it's quicker. And it's definitely something that you'll notice like as soon as you get right into it.
Yeah, that's like interesting. That really is like, I wonder, like, obviously, well, I guess it's probably pretty apparent that they just changed signature ammo specifically because of this new, specialization is what it seems like, which is good though. I'm all down for it. As you were saying, I was thinking of something else about like the specialization itself. But do you kind of feel like this is going to be just like the normal now? Like this is going to be the metagame. It's just trying to have the best like gunner specialization build.
No. And the reason being is because with the skill trees now, if you saw, and I'm pretty sure you did, is each of the skill trees, you can spec your primary and your secondary weapon and even your sidearm to that specific skill tree. I will tell you this, the gunner specialization, go ahead and run through it with the raid if you really want to, but I do not see it being like a viable tool, because with how the raid is now, we all know that the raid right now, the Black Tusk raid, is pure DPS phase. Like it's pure DPS. There's just no going around about it. But that's not to mean that the second raid isn't going to be like, okay, now you need a tank, or you know, now you need a healer, or now you need a demolitionist. You know what I mean? Because they redid all the specializations to allow you to, you know, spec an auto rifle with your demolitionist build, spec an SMG with your sharpshooter build. Now there's that versatility, there's that customizable option that you can use now for your specializations, which was phenomenal. Like it was a great change because it literally like opened the door to like, all right, well now I have the choice of running a marksman rifle with my survivalist build if I really want to. So having that availability is like that's definitely like a thumbs up.
Yeah, for me that was probably one of my favorite changes to the skill tree, is just being able to do that, because I love using the AR, but I also like SMGs. So like I had to choose between like, did I want stronger SMGs at this point or stronger AR? So like now I don't have to choose, which is awesome. So that's pretty cool. Was there any other like major changes in the skill tree that you kind of wanted to talk about?
With each skill tree, and like I said, the gunner, when they added the gunner specialization, they did this kind of for every other specific piece of weapon. So like I stated earlier, that the LMG for the gunner has a large pouch that you can use. So each skill tree now, demolitionist, sharpshooter, and survivalist, each have a specific perk involved with that specific weapon for that specific specialization. So your marksman rifle has a certain perk, your AR has a certain perk, your demolitionist, trying to think. What is it, SMG or something?
Yeah, I think that
has a special perk. So each specialization has a specific perk involved with that specific weapon, but having that availability to change it out consistently is a plus.
Yeah, that is. I feel like it just will give you more options, which is always yeah. good. That's awesome. I'm pretty pumped about that. So like doing the go ahead.
Oh no, I'm into this.
Oh. <Let's listen. laughs> No. So one thing I did kind of like leave out for the gunner specialization was how you actually unlock it. So if you're already like a year one pass member, you automatically get the specialization just right off jump. And then if you want to do the added work that most people who don't have that has to do, like the, what is it called? The field research or?
Field. The field research. I think it's like field research diaries or something like that.
You still get gear though, or not gear, but like it's all like cosmetic stuff if you already have the year one pass and you go through all of those, right?
So now, this was when Title Update 4 launched on PTS, at first it was supposed to be unlocked immediately so people could try out the specialization. That's the specialization unlocked, not completely specced out. You still have to get the spec points to spec out the actual skill tree. But when Title Update 4 dropped, it wasn't immediately open. So you had to go through each of the phases. There were five phases for the field research, and they weren't hard. They were time consuming, but it was still very fun. I mean, and it told you exactly what to do, how to unlock it. You know, it was very easy. It was just very time consuming. Now,
it's like an example of one. I don't know if it's like spoilers, so if you don't want to know, but like I remember you, I saw like the video you posted. You kind of went through some of them, but like. Can you give us like an example of like what you have to do? Is it like go to this part of the map, sort of like a project? Is it like do certain activities on this side of the map, or like,
yeah,
a little bit more?
Think of it as like a big project. So you know you have to go through. One thing that you had to do with it was go to the Air and Space Museum. No, go to Viewpoint, shoot off the helmet of Sergeant Wilson, and you know kill him. And that was one part of the achievement diaries. And then the next one was light, I think it was like light a certain number of NPCs on fire and kill them while they're on fire, and that would unlock another perk. So like you have five stages, but each of those stages has I believe it's like four different criteria that need to be met, but they're extremely easy. And like I said, it's just like a very large project.
Okay, so it's not like, I just didn't want it to be something that was like go to this place and or complete this mission 10 times on challenge, or you know, something random like that. At least it sounds like it's interactive and like fun little quests.
Oh yeah, it's very straight to the point. It's nothing like, you know, complete it 10 times, complete this many times. It's very, very straight to the point, very descriptive.
Did you see any of like the gear, or has that been like put online? Like, is it worth it for someone? I'm asking you as if like you're like the dev, but like, is it worth it to go through all of that if you have the year one pass?
I mean there's completionists out there, and there's people that collect every single thing under the sun with any, you know, loot shooter type game. So I mean you get your emotes, and then you get special cosmetics that unlock. So yeah, of course, it's gonna be fun, and you do get some awesome stuff with it. But there was something that piqued my interest when I logged in one day to the PTS, and it happened right after they made that emergency update to the PTS where they fixed the specialization damage output for each one of them. So I logged in, and all of a sudden I ran into the base of operations, and I went over to the specialization because I wanted to see, you know, what happened and see what the new damage outputs were for each of the classes. And then I got like a little notification saying that you unlocked a new mask for being a season pass holder. And I didn't catch it on clip, and I totally forgot to because I wasn't expecting it. But I was like, okay. So I looked through my apparel, and there, lo and behold, there it was. It was the exotic gunner mask that they had, and it was completely black. It has the vents for eye holes, and it's got some scuff marks on it. Like, it's really cool. And it has a little visor on top of it, too. But what really intrigued me was that it was locked behind being a season pass holder. So, which made me make the video and then question, like, is this really going to be completely locked? I mean, because there's going to be people that want this mask, and then there's going to be people who could care less about it. But right. Don't keep something locked behind a season pass to intrigue people to buy the season pass, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it, as messed up as it is, it definitely kind of worked for me. Like, granted, obviously, like, I'm the guy that's, like, doing a podcast for the division, but we found that out when the classified missions came out. We thought, oh, we were smart, we're cheating the system, we're, you know, sharing games. And that doesn't actually work with the passes. So even though we got, like, the most expensive edition of the game, we didn't have the pass. So I wanted to do the classified missions. I didn't want to be, like, miss out on that. I wanted to get the hot dog and the donut. So I gladly gave him the money just because of that. And that literally was my main focus or reason doing it, is because I wanted the backpack trophy. So I could see them, if this is behind the pass, I could see a lot of people getting masks. Like, Wes, you love masks. Like, if they told you, hey, you can only get this mask if you're behind the pass, wouldn't you do it?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm a whore when it comes to collecting shit.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it is kind of like a messed up thing. Maybe give them, like, an option. Like, if you complete it by a certain period of time, then you can get it if you don't have the year one pass. But that could be quite frustrating for people out there. Just mm-hmm. give them the extra $40, I guess, is what I'd say.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, they're gonna do what they wanna do with it. If they wanna keep it behind the pass, that's fine. I mean, but, you know, we've seen how that is with, you know, other games and keeping stuff locked behind a season pass. Honestly, I don't see them really doing that. I see them, you know, you have the season pass, you're going to get it immediately, but it's also going to be in the loot pool of the apparel caches, or even it'll be in the field research diaries that you have to do, because during the field research diaries, they didn't unlock every single thing. It wasn't available because the PTS wasn't for, like, see how this emote works or see how this cosmetic item looks on your character. No, it was really geared more towards the specialization classes than anything else. So, I mean, I didn't see any of the crafting blueprints that came through from doing the field research diaries. I didn't see any of the cosmetic items except for the gunner's mask. And I only got to see the actual emote play. I was never able to use it, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's cool. I guess that's kind of neat. So, like, if you're playing the PTS, you don't kind of completely spoil everything for yourself?
Yeah.
That's nice. That's actually nice. I was wondering how that went down. I guess that's why my question for, like, is it worth doing all of this? Because I'm assuming you've seen everything, but you have not. Which is nice. It's nice. Well, another thing that kind of popped up in here, which I do kind of feel like it's a little bit of a spoiler, but it's cool to know that it's at least there, was the gunslinger holster. So we have, like, our first piece of, like, exotic gear coming in Title Update 4. Did you ever, like, manage to get it, or did you, like, start, like, the quest to find it, or, like, how did that go for you?
Yeah, so after it was released, of how to go about getting it, you know, going to the crafting person, Anaya, getting the project blueprint, because that's all it really was. You go to her, get the blueprint. And it was like a little mini quest, and it was fun. You know, you head over to one of the control points. There's a hyena control point on the western side of the map. Defeat them. You'll get an exotic piece, and then you'll take it back to the project's master over at the base of operations. And then you'll get your next set of instructions of what to do. And it was fun. I mean, it really flowed really nicely. And it wasn't so, like, it wasn't a huge puzzle. Like, you knew what to do. You knew where to go. You knew what had to be done. Yeah, so I ended up getting it. I didn't have too much time to test it, except for doing like one named enemy group. I used it, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, could you tell us like what the talent was for it, or like what did you like what was the reason for using this gunslinger holster?
So the gunslinger holster itself is definitely geared towards a pistol. It actually is specifically geared towards the revolver. You know what? Let me see if I can find a photo of it. So just give me 1 second.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people doing some like pistol builds. So I wonder if that's kind of like perfect timing for that, if you have a pretty ridiculous pistol build.
I mean, it's definitely fun to use. Man. Philly, no, I don't have it. No, I don't have the photo anymore. I had a photo of the whole of the talent list. You know what? Hold on. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can try and get something here for you.
While he's looking that up, might as well mention how I still hate the fucking Dark Zone.
Yeah, let's have a Dark Zone break. Go ahead. Oh, that was it. You're just like, I just hate the Dark Zone.
No, I just hate it. You know, you work in there to go in for all the challenge, you know, Dark Zone areas, and you get fucking garbage. I got not one piece that worked for my build. Now, one piece that improved my health, my armor, or made me stronger. Everything helped me in a negative way. And I didn't get a single gun that I could use. Like, it was a waste of my time. But then you always meet the dickheads that have some insane build that you can't even take them down when three people are shooting at them. When I'm shooting my nemesis, I'm doing like 900,000 damage, if not a million damage on specific shots. And these guys, they won't even see their health go down. It's annoying.
Yeah, that one, the one we ran up on that guy, and I was like drilling him, and then you're like, I hit him with the nemesis, and then you switch and you start shooting. We're like both firing on him, and he's just walking right straight up to us, like no problem, takes us both down, and we had like half of his armor gone. We're like, what the fuck just happened?
Bunch of bullshit. That's what it happened.
Yeah, that's why. Exactly what it is. I mean, I'll go into the Dark Zone to maybe farm materials and maybe to get gear, but there's just no point to go in there. Okay, so I have the talents pulled up if you want to hear them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the Dodge City Gunslinger's Holster. So your first talent is Sleight of Hand. Now, this adds 20% accuracy, 20% stability, 40% reload speed, 400% optimal range, and 20% revolver damage. And it requires that you have a pistol equipped, so in hand. And then you've got quick draw, swapping to your pistol reloads all weapons. And then perforator, shots fired from your pistol penetrate enemies. And then pistol headshot kills grant 20% weapon damage and allows your primary and secondary weapons to penetrate enemies for 8 seconds. This duration is increased for 11 seconds when using a revolver. So, yeah. And when I used this on the named enemies just outside the gate, and it was definitely I've never seen a pistol not have a recoil.
That's the first thing I thought of, was like that much stability, like that's crazy. And then on top of that, like think of like having a build with like the gunner specialization with like that giant pouch on your LMG, you get all the way down to zero, switch to the pistol. A few shots, switch back, and it's reloaded. Am I understanding that right?
Swapping to your pistol reloads all weapons. Yeah,
that's crazy. That is crazy. That's pretty cool. I like this. I love this. It just reminds me of like Division 1 with like the exotic gear. With like the one I specifically always remember. I think it was the Ninja Backpack, where it automatically be like a third ranking or third tier to your gear set.
So oh, yeah.
Or your brand set, I guess it was. But you know, I might get like to the third one for whatever. So you could have two sets of two different random ones and then have the third. Like, man, that stuff like that, I really like. It adds more complexity to the game, but it's also just fun. And to get more lore behind that, which is cool. Like behind the talents itself or behind the gear.
I'm excited for that. And it looks really cool. It's very westernized. And then during the whole mini quest, if you want to call it that, I mean, each of the actual enemies you had to defeat it was very western, so it was very fun. I think that's why I like doing it, because it had its own little, like, it had nothing to do with the story. It was like its own little, like, subcategory, except for, you know, the Black Tusk moving a convoy to a certain location. But it also had, like, you can't be there before noon, you have to be there after noon. And it was just fun. It was just a little fun mini quest that you could do to get this piece of exotic equipment. And, you know, and again, like you said, it provides versatility for making your builds your own and trying something new.
I love it. Hopefully we get more stuff like that. I know, like, in the state of the game, they were discussing, like, name weapons in general and how they were just kind of getting in there and, like, making those more of a unique item. So, like, you could still put, like, your skins on top of the weapons, but they had, like, a different texture. So if you had a name weapon that was the same as all the others, it would just stand out a little bit more. And I really like that, because I know at this type of game, we just pick up a weapon, use it until we find something better. But to have some kind of attachment to, like, a gun or, like, gear just makes it as is, which is going to make it harder for me to get rid of stuff than it already is right now. Not helping my hoarder problem. That's going to be bad. Well, what else in Title Update 4 was pretty good? I know I kind of, like, those are, like, some of the main things that I wanted to discuss. Is there anything that, like, I didn't bring to attention that you think is worthy of our discussion? Or is that just, like, the main focus?
So when Title Update 4 drops, and of course everything is subject to change, you could definitely expect to see a lot more detailed and pretty much everything. And when I mean detailed, I mean, like, detailed descriptions, more information regarding the types of missions you're running, more information regarding your skill trees, more, and it's all going to be just that. It's going to be very descriptive. Again, the focus was mostly on specializations. They did touch on some scalability for the missions to see how well it was going to function. But you're definitely going to see a little bit more on your screen, but it's nothing too distracting. And then I think, even though, like, they changed the specializations, I think the overall thing that I really enjoyed with the PTS is knowing when you were going to get your next specialization ammo. I mean, that mechanic is just so cool. And the sound effect that they added to it it's just on top. Like, I like the sound effects in this game. They did a great job with it.
Not to go back too far, but you mentioned like the detail, and I that is something that I completely forgot, but I did see a screenshot, like, before the mission, it will tell you, like, how much harder, like, the enemies are, and, like, different things like that, which it's kind of cool, because it almost reminds me, what was that tunnel thing we used to run in the Division 1? I don't know if you remember what it was, Wes, or...
The Underground?
That's what it was. The Underground, where it gave you, like qualifiers for, like, the mission that you're about to take it. Like, enemies may do 10% burn damage to you, or minus, or I don't know, you know, just different buffs on, like, the enemies. And that's neat. That's kind of cool to know that going into a mission versus just kind of, like, playing it and thinking it's always going to be the same. So that adds to, like, replayability, which is always cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's, I mean, again, it might be a little overbearing just to see all that info pop up on your screen. But again, it's very informational, and it lets you know, like, hey, you can expect this and not be completely, you know, blindsided by it while you're running it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it was so much fun. And I really like how they added the mini quests, the mini side projects, because it just gave you something new to do. It gave you something to chase after, and it wasn't overbearing. It wasn't, and I said it in a video, like, the Dodge City Gunslingers, it was time gated, but it wasn't real in real life time gated. It was game time. So, I mean, as long as they keep to that perspective, I think no one will have really an issue acquiring any of these exotic pieces that they're about to put out.
That's cool. Well, I'm really excited for that. I just hope that those, I didn't want to go into like we did last time for the PTS of like each like kind of minute changes in like a lot of the patches, is because some of that stuff doesn't even make it over into the actual live game. And it's also kind of a little mundane just talking about every little fix, but they do have a giant list of patches that they're adding to it. So I think I'll wait till maybe Monday. So or whenever it releases, we'll get like the patch notes and we'll tweet something out and maybe talk about some of the other things that we either like or dislike in the next episode. But all I can think is I'm excited to get my hands on this, and you made my hype go up a little bit. And Netflix movie.
Yes.
What else can we get, man? That's pretty awesome. Well, guys, you got anything else before I close the show?
Nope.
I think I'm good, then. Well, like I said, I already discussed what we got going on next week. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I always have fun with you on the show, Mason, like going over some details. And I mean, hopefully you don't mind us like pimping you just to talk about the PTS, just because we don't have, you know, the ability to. Although someone just got a PC, so maybe he might leave his console.
No, God, no. I mean, no.
Well, it was worth a shot, at least. Well, Mason, I'm going to do the outro, but before I do that, man, like always, I want this show to be like a platform for other like creators that are associated with Division. So go ahead and like let the people know all about your stuff, that you like what you do and where they can find you and why they should find you, you know?
Yeah, man. So definitely, you know, I want to say thanks again for having me on the show again. Phoenix Gaming, you can find me on PC. Name tag is the same as Discord. Name tag is pretty much the same across all platforms. You can find me on Twitter at Phoenix Gaming LLC. You can find me on Facebook at Phoenix Gaming. I'm very easy to find. And if you don't know the name, just look for the little eye that has a little Phoenix in it, and that'll be me probably. But yeah, man, I always enjoy coming on your show. It's a lot of fun.
I like seeing your videos pop up. Of course, I subscribe to you, so anytime I open up YouTube, I see like it's ridiculousness that you got going on with you completing like missions by yourself. It's pretty awesome. But you also do post some little detailed information. You had one about E3 as well, which is pretty nifty. Since we do this show like weekly, it's nice to have like, you know, somebody else is covering some stuff just whenever anything happens, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Before we go, I just want to give a shout out. We had a listener from Australia reach out to us, add us on our friends list, and they want to play with us sometime. That's awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Obviously, I don't want to give away your screen name on here because, you know, that would be awful. But thank you so much for listening and being a supporter. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, that was actually pretty trippy to open up the PlayStation app. And I wish I didn't, like, I just accepted the request, like, just automatically. But I read it, I was like, wait, did he say Australia? That's just my point. This is awesome. That's really awesome. So we appreciate it. Actually, just piggybacking on that, like, we want to play with you guys. We want to have, like, I have a list just for Division, like, just for Division fans on PlayStation. So I want to get that list as long as I can. Maybe we can get our own little clan going for Media Junkie and Rogue Agents. That would be amazing. But we can't do that without you guys. So continue following us on Twitter. Maybe give us some shout outs. I don't feel like we get as much love on Twitter. I want like people to interact and tell us how amazing or how stupid we are. I'm good with either. If you want to do that, just find us on Twitter. It's Media Junkie Vids with an S. And the same goes for Instagram. We don't really have much Division content, but if you're like into like nerdy stuff, our buddy Mike posts like cool pictures and stuff that he paints, or not paints, but he draws and he sells amazing shirts. He has some awesome artwork that he just sent us in the group that he's going to be putting out soon. So that's pretty cool. And then Lastly, you can find us on Media Junkie at youtube.com/Media Junkie. I said that backwards, but that area, man, we like post all of our streams. Like when we're streaming on like YouTube and stuff, that gets posted on there, Apex, other games, whatnot. But it's still pretty active. We have some cool video game videos over there. So definitely go there, leave some comments. I mean, that's generally what's blowing up on YouTube for us is our comments. So it's always fun to see that. Thank you guys. But lastly, of course, again, the most important thing is just sharing the podcast, getting us out there as many people as we possibly can. This is not a pay-for podcast. We don't even do ads. We just do it because we love Division and we love having fun and talking to each other. So if you can, support us, like us, and subscribe. I don't think I have anything else, so we know what to do to close it. Mason, do you remember our patent-pending hashtag?
Oh, God.
Of course you do. It's the most amazing close extra outro to any podcast that's ever been existed. It's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most pathetic closing ever. So, like, I don't know why I always beat myself up. But anyways, listen to this show like we do and like we always will with the hashtag Let's Go Rogue.
Let's Go Rogue.
Let's Go Rogue.
Got it. Got it.